Keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
What is up? Good morning, Simple Church. Come on, y'all. Hey, I don't really do this as often as I should, but we have an amazing hearing impaired group and Miss Wendy over here giving them all of the information. You give them some love and let them know that we're with them this morning. Come on. Thank y'all for being there. Wendy, you do an awesome job. She's amazing at it. Now, here is the one thing I got to start with, because I just ran all the way back over there to go to the bathroom and back. Any old person feel me? Oh, I'm winded. And as I was running, I was thinking, I wish they had like a bathroom back here. For y'all that don't know, when you're talking about the pre-show and going backstage, there is no bathroom back here. So you got to run all the way back there and back. And I was thinking the whole time, like, you're about to open with an illustration of how old you are, and you're going to demonstrate it real and in real time, because I promise you, about halfway, I was thinking, this is the dumbest idea I've ever had. Other than this past week, I went and played golf at the FCA tournament. We had a lot of fun. And up in the middle, here's my team. Let me go ahead and show my team brag on them. Look at that. Come on, give them a little love right there. Look at Chip. Chip back out on the golf course, you know. Blake, my partner in the cart. And Blake's a lot younger. He's in his 20s, so we're driving around the cart. We're getting ready to have a good time. And instead of, like an older, wiser person, stopping the cart and getting out to get my ball, I actually was going full speed in the cart and decided, I said, hey, just keep it going. I'm going to jump out and get my ball. I don't know what came over me, but as I was jumping out and as I landed, I felt my back go that, you know, and I was like, you are so dumb. You know what I'm saying? Took me about 5 days, literally, to get my back in line and kind of feeling, oh, I was still literally stove up like we talked about last week. But as I was thinking through that in the preparation of the message, I get back to the office and I start typing out, like, where am I going this week? What are we going to talk about? And in that process, I was reminded again, I really am old, because I realized I shouldn't have jumped out of the car. I'm not in shape. I shouldn't be running like I was doing. I got to kind of slow it down. And then you go, is there any other way you know that you're old? Yes. One way you for sure know that you're old is when you like info commercials. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? They're intriguing to me. So for some reason, when I see this picture right here, I want that boat. You know what I'm saying? And if I can't get my hands on that boat, that dude got sharks underneath him, y'all, all right? If Flex Tape is that good, give me a roll, son. I'm like, man, there's something in me. I'm like, that is so amazing. He's so excited, too, like, that's right, you know, and don't worry, we'll double the offer. They're always excited about it. But then, that's not my favorite info commercial. If you're old in here, and this is how I know I'm old, my kids go through the commercials. They don't even want to watch them. It's stupid. They're going, no, I'm not watching all that. But me, I'm intrigued. I tune in. Like, what can I use Flex Tape for? There's probably a good need for that. But the next one, it is near and dear to my heart. And this is what I affectionately call my forever friend, the battery daddy. Every man in here knows that when you're watching it, you're like, gosh, that's beautiful. It's so perfect in every way. It does things that you just can't even imagine. Now, if you've not seen this and you're wondering, like, what has Justin, maybe a lack of oxygen as he ran, he has hit his head or something. No, I'll prove my point on how awesome it is. You hadn't seen the commercial? I got it for you. Watch.
Do loose batteries clutter up your house? Is finding the right size impossible? And why do they always waste precious space? What you need is the Battery Daddy Storage System, the new compact and portable way to organize, store, and protect all your batteries. Turn any disaster into an organized master. Battery Daddy uses both sides to store all types of different batteries. The unique design groups them in groups for easy selection. You could even find one with a blindfold on. Tackle household chores with the precision of a pro. Watch out, loose batteries can touch and drain power. Not with Battery Daddy, they stay fully charged and protected in their own compartment. Call Global Shop Direct or go online now and get the Battery Daddy storage system for the low price on your screen. But wait, as an added bonus with your order, you'll also receive a battery tester, so you'll instantly know which batteries are bad and which are good. Don't miss this incredible offer. Order your Battery Daddy with bonus battery tester today.
I'm telling you, man, I know some of y'all are jealous right now, and you know how bad this is? I'm not giving this away. I'm keeping this for me. I love the battery. Dude, did you see the woman with the blindfold on? She was blindfolded. I got the battery. That's the beauty of the Battery Daddy, all right? So as I'm watching the Battery Daddy, it demands that I buy one. I get the Battery Daddy. I'm like, okay, I got it. All right, thank God. And then it hits me as I'm watching the commercial. There's something else powerful in the message. I pulled it. I separated it. It's only about 10 seconds or so. But listen close because it sets us up perfect for where we're going today. Watch this.
Watch out. Loose batteries can touch and drain power. Not with Battery Daddy. They stay fully charged and protected in their own compartment.
Are you ready? This is it. Get your pen pads out. Get your notepad out. You're like, all right, what are we going with today? Are you ready? Put it on the screen. Contact with negative people can drain your power. Can I get an amen somewhere? Now you go, Justin, what are you talking about? All right, so last week I talked about moving, that we're talking about still moving. Well, as I was preparing for this week, and I saw the Battery Daddy commercial, you're like, that's how he gets his messages? Just hang with me. Yes, all right? I was reminded of last week in John chapter 5, when in Jerusalem there were hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed. Remember, they're all gathered around the pool? And it hit me that there was the one guy who was there for 38 years, that maybe, just maybe, the reason that he stayed there so long and the reason he was in the shape that he was is because all of the people that he was connected with were draining each other. They were in contact with each other, and they were just keeping the negative attitude, saying there's no way we can make it. They had excuses after excuses, and the longer they were around them, the more they became drained. And it's the same for you and me. Can you relate? Can you relate to being around negative people, maybe a workplace, a school, your home? Do not look at your spouse right now. Stay right here, all right? Stay looking. But you get around someone else that is negative, it can zap the life out of you. Now, I put on the screen the other second question to this, which is, are you the draining force? Are you the one that is draining people? Now, I know what some of you are thinking already. You're like, not me, brother. I can tell you, I know who it is. It's that guy at work, it's my spouse, it's my kids, it's them, it's that part, whatever it is. So I did a little research again back in Scripture to just challenge us all, because this message is speaking to me as I'm working through these things, and I hope it helps you. Because as I'm continuing this idea of moving, I know that I have to look at myself before I can ever talk to any of you. You go, how do you know that? Matthew 7 tells me this. Why do you say to your friends, let me take this piece of dust out of your eye? Because they're going, hey, man, they're negative. That's the one. They should hear this message. Oh, I wish so-and-so could hear it. When it continues on, look at yourself first. Now, I'm a pastor. I try to be positive. I try to look for the good. I try not to drain people. I try to lift people up. But all of us are guilty of it. Sometimes things happen, circumstances, situations, and the next thing you know, you're not worried about, you know, yourself. You're focused on everything and everybody else, and all those things are draining. And we're not, again, focusing on the big log we have in our own eye. We're looking at the dust in somebody else's eyes. And sometimes we're so comfortable with being negative that we don't even realize it. You can get around people, and it's such the culture in your school or your workplace or your home or your marriage that you just go, it's just where we are. I mean, this is just kind of how it is because you've lived with it. You've experienced it for so long. Well, it brings you back to the story and why it continued as I watched a Battery Daddy commercial, going back to John chapter 5, last week's message. Because Jesus saw this guy who had been around all of these negative people in negative circumstances so long. Look at how he was laid out. He was stretched out. He's stretched out by the pool. He's like, what I can think of is this picture right here. What are you talking about? This is what he looked. He's just like, hey, man, yeah, I've been here a long time. This is the way it is. This is the way my friends are. This is the way it's always been. So he became more comfortable with it. And the longer he was there, the more normal it felt. The excuses just rolled off easier. And to be truthful, the majority of the people around him were negative. The culture that he was in was negative, negative, negative. And there he was, paralyzed by it. So I challenged you last week, are you ready to move away? Are you ready to take a step? And this is my challenge to you again today, as I'll put it on the screen as a little reminder. Are you ready to move away from what, Justin? From the negative. If you remember, Jesus walked up and he's like, hey, let me challenge you with something here, bro. I see you're comfortable. I see you're in this world with all these negative people. It's kind of where you think is normal. But I'm going to challenge you. Do you want to get well? Then get up, take your mat and walk with. Let's move together. Now, that was last week, a little bit of a recap. But it's still a reminder when it comes to this particular issue. Many times we are very comfortable staying negative. It may have been the way you were raised. It may be the way your dad was or your parents were or the world that you were in, and you don't really know it. But when you step back today and you look in the mirror and you evaluate it, or maybe someone has told you this before and you're like going, I can see myself being that way. And this is why this message matters. Now, to give it a little more transparency, in the 11 o'clock hour than I did in the 9:30, Angie sometimes will tell this to me. So you're a pastor. I have a tendency to see the problem. That's why we add solve problems to the love God, love people, and solve problems. But I'm not always positive about that. So even in a marriage, Angie can make me like, you're speaking to yourself, Pastor Justin. You know, I'm like, I know. Maybe you can relate. And maybe just like me, you need some help to overcome it, to be better than that. You're not alone. And I found another passage of scripture that helps me, and I hope that it'll help you. This is Peter. Peter is an amazing disciple of Jesus. He has seen Jesus do some amazing stuff. And he now runs into a beggar. And in this beggar, he's asking him for money. And Peter goes into the story, says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something else that I can give you. And he's like, what's that? All right. He says, by the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, stand up and walk. Move. Hey, I don't have any money, but I'm challenging you to get up and move. Well, guess what? The guy don't get up. The guy just still sits there, and Peter's looking at him like, hey, did you hear me? Did you not hear me? And he didn't move. Maybe he was paralyzed. Maybe he couldn't move. Maybe he was fearful. He didn't move, but this is what's so powerful. Look at what happens next. And then Peter took the man's right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and legs became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, began to walk. He was walking and jumping around and praising God. Now you go, now, Justin, what are you trying to pull out of this? Well, it's pretty obvious, but I'll put it on the screen. Are you lifting people up? Or are you draining people? Because what I realize when I see that story and I hear the story like it was found in John, and now I see this in Acts, and I'm going, here's the thing that Jesus was trying to say to us as followers of Jesus, as, again, people that want to represent him, is we have a choice. We live in a negative world. The majority of people around us are going to be negative. It doesn't matter. That's the way it's been. That is the way it will always be. But you and I have an option here. And that is, will we choose when we see something going on, whether it's in your school or whether it's in your home or whether it's in your community, to say, wait a second, man, I'm going to look for the positive and I'm going to be someone that lifts people up, that does not drain them. Now, I'm going to give you another Old Testament illustration of this. And this is probably even a more powerful example of the power of moving away from negativity. What you'll see is in Numbers, it is the story of the 12 spies that were trying to look into the promised land that God had promised. They had 12 of them, all right? And they were going to go in and they were going to look at the land, the promised land, milk and honey flowing. You remember Moses, the whole thing of going, hey, man, we're free from Egypt. We're not slaves anymore. We're going to the promised land. The problem was when they looked in the promised land, they saw some stuff that wasn't promising. It was kind of negative. It was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. But of the 12 spies, they were supposed to come back and give a report. What did you see and what can we do? And watch what happened, because here is Caleb, one of the spies. He comes back and he interrupts because the crowd's in a little bit of an argument. Everybody's kind of making their statements. And Caleb interrupts him and calls for silence before Moses. Hey, Moses, everybody be quiet. Let's go up and take that land. We can do it. I mean, he was pumped, man. He was like, listen, man, God promised it. This is our opportunity. Everybody be quiet. Let's go for it. But watch what happens. But the others said, the others, that's right, all of the other spies, except for one and Caleb, so it's 10 to 2, they all start going, no, sir, we can't attack those people. They're way stronger than we are. And then the next thing that really relates to our culture, not only they go, hey, man, did you see what's over there? Did you see what's happening? They begin to spread lies, rumors, like this. They begin to spread rumors among the people of Israel. It's a land that swallows people whole. You're talking about conspiracy theory. All of a sudden, they were like going, hey, listen, we are so fearful. We are so negative about this that now we're even going to make stuff up to keep you negative. It's not necessarily the truth. Think about anything that could happen in our culture doing that right now. I can't think of anything. And so what happens? Everybody we saw was huge. Another lie. There may have been some giants. There may have been some obstacles. But now they're starting to just spread and trying to just go, no way, no way, we can't do it. Now, I want to remind you, God told them they could. God told them it was their land. Only two people come back and say, hey, man, we can do this. We need to go for it. The 10 are going, no way, we can't do it. You got to remember, they're coming from slavery. They're coming from difficult, very ugly circumstances. And God's going, here is your chance. But the reports, the speaking, the words were like, can't do it. And this is probably the most mind-boggling thing you forget about and we don't really work through, but it relates to exactly where we are as a country and where we are as a community. The negative reports of those two people convinced over 2 million people to not move. The negative reports of those 10 convinced not what God said, not what the opportunities were, not what was promised. It changed their whole mindset of 2 million people. Now, Justin, how do you know that? Numbers continues in 14. The whole community was in an uproar. Not only did they go negative, they started tearing each other up, wailing all night long. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. I don't think there's anything similar in our country going on, is there? I cannot think of one thing of how this would relate to where we are. You listen to the negative long enough. You surround yourself with negative. You can't see positive. You can't trust God. You don't believe what he says. You can convince yourself and millions of others there is no hope. It's over. We'll never make it. We'll never come out of it. We'll never recover. We'll never be better. There is nothing for us. It's over, people. We don't have a prayer. And Numbers 14, the entire community was in on it. Why didn't we just die in Egypt? You talking about going negative? You got to remember what happened was is you surround, you listen to, you let it come into your life, and you get there. You now not only are affected yourself, it's like those negative batteries. You begin to touch everybody else and say everything else, and next thing you know, the whole thing starts coming down. And as a result, you don't experience what God has in store for you. You don't get his best. You don't know what it looks like. All you can do is spiral out of control in your negativity. But I want to remind you of something. Are you ready for this? God's word and the reason that you're here today tells us that we have a choice. It is not like, well, I just, it's the way it is. It'll never be the same. Well, I guess that's just the way it's always going to be. No. How do you know we have a choice, Justin? What do you mean? How do you know? Proverbs 18:21. You ready? Here it is. Our words that you speak to one another, that you say to someone else, that you just let out of your body, give life or death. They're either poison or they're fruit. But you say the last two words. What is this right here? It's America, y'all. You choose. You choose how we're going to respond. You choose how you're going to treat people. You choose whether you will see the negative or the positive. You choose. Not anyone else chooses for you. You have a God in heaven who is giving us word and scripture after scripture, truth after truth, reminder after reminder, story after story. And he's calling us to say, hey, listen, it's time to move. Man, let's get up and start taking some positive steps. Not only do I want you to move, now I want you to lift up somebody else who maybe is struggling with that. And maybe, just maybe, with it, when we get together, just like it can go south, where 10 convince 2 million to do nothing, maybe the 10 or the 2, we can convince people to see what God is up to begin to trust him and go, you know what, God, maybe you're going to do something that I've never thought that you could do. Maybe you're going to show me something. Maybe you're going to show up in a way that we desperately need, and I'm going to be looking for it. I'm going to be trusting you. I'm going to believe in you when everything else looks like it's impossible. Now, the good news for you, last week my associate pastor was on vacation. I called him. I said, Steve Hartman, can you come off vacation for one more week? Steve, the good news is, he's like, Justin, okay, yeah, I'll come off a vacation. And he said, but what are we talking about this week? I was like, well, I want a modern illustration of exactly what these scriptures are saying. I need something that makes it so clear that you can't go. I didn't really get it. I don't really understand. Because maybe you don't understand Peter. Maybe you don't understand Jesus, which I'm trying to get you to. Maybe you don't understand Moses, and you're going, man, that scripture, I just don't know. Well, here is a modern, real-time example of everything you've just heard. And when I saw this, I was like, thank you, Jesus, for Steve Hartman, one. But more importantly, for this man and his story. Because he's in a negative situation, but watch what he does. He chooses to be positive. Watch.
There are a lot of big, important jobs here at the Methodist Hospital Esterbrook Cancer Center in Omaha. And John McAlpin's.
Hi, Nadine.
Isn't one of them.
How you doing?
They come to see the PhDs upstairs. But they got to get past P.T. Barnum at the front door first.
Good to see you.
As the front door greeter, John is responsible for welcoming chemo patients and their families.
Doing pretty good, John.
While at the same time, keeping out as much of their despair and hopelessness as possible.
Good to see you.
His attitude, it lifts me up.
Makes you feel warm and good.
Just a really happy-go-lucky person.
I'm splendid. How are you?
John's so positive.
I can't complain a bit.
Patients sometimes wonder if he's on something.
Good afternoon.
And actually, he is on something.
How you doing?
The same chemo they are. A few years ago, John was diagnosed with a rare form of intestinal cancer. He knew it would kill him eventually. So at first, he thought, why wait?
I was pretty despondent. I really was. And that was the night I planned my suicide.
Sawed-off shotgun, motel room, he had it all planned out. Until one day his doctor convinced him that the end of your life doesn't have to be the end of the world. You can still find purpose. And for John,
hi, Katina.
This was it.
How you doing?
Now, 5 days a week, this 60-year-old retired firefighter comes to his new job at the hospital. Never misses a day, even on chemo.
You have a good week?
Well, on and off.
They've given me a purpose in life beyond anything I've ever known. I'm not a cancer victim anymore. And that's how I choose to live out the remainder of my days, helping other people.
How you been, hon?
Oh, good.
I'm able to tell them, you can do this. Look at me, you can do this.
That's okay.
Which may just make his job at the hospital the most important one after all.
Sometimes.
Steve Hartman, on the road. In Omaha.
One day at a time.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, y'all. Before I move on, I got to say a couple of things. When I saw the video, all I could think about was, what would I do? I mean, I'm a pastor. I preach the messages. I know what God's Word says. But what I have it in me to live that out. And then I begin to look around at the people that God has blessed me in my life with. A guy like Mike Kemp, who got a diagnosis this past week that he's working through that's challenging. But in the middle of all of those challenges, he sends me a text of what God's doing in his life and how he's excited about what God's going to do and how he's going to trust him and he's going to press on. In the pre-show, just a couple of minutes ago, I was talking to Brandon McCormick and thinking about his wife, Daylene, and when they also had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago, and we're walking through all this, all I could think about is how Daylene was positive. And Brandon was positive, and they're going, hey, it wasn't always going their way, but they were there to lift other people up, to encourage them, say, man, we're going to get through it. This past week, I went and sat with Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack is one of my favorite volunteers of all time at Simple Church because he's an older guy that when we launched Simple Church in a theater, he was the rebel that would climb the ladders when everybody was telling him he's too old to climb a ladder. He would just look at him and smile and hang the signs. And now he's on hospice at home. Don't know how long he has to live, but as I sit and talk with him, Jack didn't moan and complain or whine. He was just trying to lift me up. Tell me stories of his life and how God had done this and how God had done that and what a blessing it was to live all these years and all the things that he was thankful for, including me, including the church, including you. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, this is pretty heavy. But then to really kind of seal it all off, at a funeral yesterday that I attended, Mark Bass, Christy Rhodes' uncle, Bossier City fireman, 57 years old, dies unexpectedly. I mean, they were going through some health stuff, but it was not really expected. When you're that young, you hope that that never happens. But as I sit in the funeral, 2 hours long, worth every minute, all I heard was this man's life reflected by his kids, by his spouse, by his coworkers, by acquaintances, bragging on his positivity and the joy and the life that he'd bring to a room. Now, he was a Bethune, as they all said, silly, crazy, funny. But his life was, come on, man, including one of his favorite jokes. I say it, and it makes me laugh every time. He said, hey, what's a vampire's favorite saying? And everybody go, what, Mark? Be positive. Get it? Blood. I'm like, and everybody's like, so corny, so what? But it reflected his life. So his kids told the stories, not of an angry dad, not of a drunk dad, not of a depressed dad, not of a hateful dad, but a guy that loved on people and looked for ways to enjoy life. Whether it was LSU games, because he's a big LSU football player, or whether it was firefighter stories. And again, is he perfect? Come on, man, none of us are. But if you sat back and listened, you're like, man, listen to the stories. And then I couldn't help but think about all of us, because many of you call me and go, hey, man, will you do my funeral? Man, it's always an honor to do a funeral. It's always an honor to celebrate somebody's life. But let me tell you something. You're writing it right now. You're writing the funeral today. So when you choose to serve and get involved and volunteer and you choose to give your life away and you choose to lift others up and you choose to look at life positively, as opposed to that when people get together, they go, man, that dude was always negative. Man, he could find the worst thing in every situation. Man, he listened to news 24/7. That's what he did, and complained every minute. And you're going, good God, I know. We have a choice. I have a choice. You have a choice. Because the truth is, life is going to knock us down. This world is full of negativity. I mean, man, the cancer diagnosis is going to come. The pandemic is going to happen. The hurricanes, the weather, you can complain, we can whine, we can go, it ain't fair. The government stuff is coming and going, up and down. I mean, you go through all of it, but here's what Jesus was saying. None of this was a shock to him. And he was saying, listen, if you want to keep moving, if you really want to experience life and life to the fullest, when life knocks you down, choose to lift others up. Choose to look for the positive. Choose to find a way. He said, man, I'm going to figure this out. Now, I couldn't go on without recognizing my boy Rick in the front row, because he's another one of those guys that, including me, when I saw Rick in the hospital, he was dead. I looked at him and said, man, ain't no way this guy's going to live. Jeff Warren and some of my other friends that come back and go, man, you need to be more positive. And I'm like, I get it. And let me tell you one reason I should be more positive, because of a guy like Rick. Because if you think you know, and when you see someone facing death and they come off out of that bed and they're coming out and they're going, hey, listen, man, I got another chance. I got another chance, and this is what God did for me, and what can I do? And then he's telling me, I'm going to be at church in the front row, and can you give him a little love? Because guess where he's sitting today? On the front row. Now, let me just tell you why I say all this. Rick don't want that. What he's still trying to do, we had a conversation this week on the phone. God, I got to find my purpose. I got to find why I'm still here. I got to know what that is. And Rick, I hope that video encourages you. And I hope that it encourages all of us in here because, listen, man, we only have so much life. And what I'm figuring out in my life and why the Simple Church is the way it is, and you don't have to like the music and you don't have to, I don't really care about all that. What I care more than anything else is that we would solve real problems in the world. That we would be so encouraging, so full of life, so full of answers that it changes the world. Whether that's the world of your school or your classroom or your workplace or your home or your community. And it starts with saying, Jesus, change me. And this pastor's praying the same prayer. God, help me to see the positive. So last night I'm at a wedding. Having a good time. The band's playing. And I got to say, Wendy and Earl is awesome. Time Machine was there from Frisco. They were throwing it down. And I'm back there just dancing and eating my chicken. And all them people at me like, that pastor's, ooh, he's dancing to that music. I'm like, dude, you ain't seen nothing. Because, man, I'm alive. And Wendy comes up and says, man, if you didn't give me the chance to be on that stage, I don't know that I'd be doing what I'm loving now. And I met my husband, Earl, and I'm just thankful for this. I'm like, girl, no, listen, we're thankful for you. And I'm thankful for you sharing the story, and I'm thankful for you coming up and telling me because all of us are writing our stories right now. And you can have a choice. You can be the person when you people get around you, they're like, going negative. Or we can go, man, let me find the positive. So, Justin, all that sounds good, brother, but do you have any practical advice? Glad you asked. You ready? Practical advice. Put it on the screen for you. Be careful who you hang with. If everybody that you're hanging with and the world that you have created is negative, and all you do is listen to negative, you will be negative. The battery daddy taught you that lesson. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be fooled, my friends. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Can I get a witness, old people? Young people are like, I don't know about that. Trust me. You hang around with bad people, you hang around people got bad habits, the next thing you know, you got them same habits. So be careful with who you hang around. But then here's the second part. But what if you are the negative one? Like really, when you hear all this talk, you know that it's not talking to bias. You know that I'm speaking to you, that God's speaking directly to you. And you go, man, that's me. Here it is, you ready? Be careful what you listen to. Now, why do I say this? Because I'm only going to tell you about my life. When I listen to news all the time and I listen to talk radio all the time, guess what I have a tendency to be? Negative. Some of you, that's all you do. You turn it on. Did you hear what it said, brother? We're all going to die. Then you get in the car. Turn it up louder. Hold. And then it makes you so, you get so grumpy, so negative, so ugly. Here's a news flash. We don't really like being around you. So what I'm telling you is, I can be the same way. So am I telling you that every time you see me, I'm going to be 100% positive? Hey, I'm Joel Osteen. Oh, let me tell you this. Listen, before you criticize, listen. Get over it. Before you criticize him, let me tell you what's helped me. I listen to Joel Osteen. I turn my radio station. You want to know why it began to go? When I started listening to news, I was like, no, listen, man, I better turn the station. So when I started listening to Lil Joel or I started listening to a little Christian music, I started trying to find some things positive to put in, I started, you know what's amazing, man? It kind of changes your attitude. It kind of changes the way you look at things. So now guess where my truck is stationed on? That's exactly right. Now you say, well, I listen to sports radio. I don't know if you know this or not, but our teams aren't doing so well. So I'd turn on there, and they'd be going down. The Cowboys, horrible, and then I'm like, and then I'd go down. If you're a Saints fan, it ain't much better. So the next thing you know, it can just start taking you out. So if you listen to the news, if you listen to this and listen to that, next thing I start telling you, so I'm like, man, give me something that I can start putting in to be positive. Now you go, well, Justin, is this biblical? Is this biblical? Yeah, I'll tell you why it's biblical. You ready? Philippians chapter 4. Summing it all up, friends. I say you do your best by what? Filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, that are noble, that are reputable, that are authentic, that are compelling, that are gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, things not to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and what you saw. So every parent, listen to me. What are you putting into practice in your home? Manager, owner of a business, boss, do you think you got to be like the world? Do you think that that's the way that it works? No, because Jesus told us, no, if you're in the leadership, you're going to do it different. I don't care what you do for a living. He don't give a caveat unless you're in this position, unless you own this company. Then you really get a pass. You can do it your way. You can do it however you want to do it. No, because people are listening. So then when you put it into practice, when they learn from you and they see that from you, then they begin to say, man, that's what I want. Then they realize, kids, coworkers, friends, spouse, that God who makes everything work together will work in you to this most excellent harmony. Dude, there ain't nothing like good harmonies. So here's the thing. He's like, listen, man, when you trust God and go, God, I know it's counterculture. I know it's counterintuitive. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I know that you work everything together and you will work for changing me to be more like you. When I'm more like you, it changes my workplace. It changes my home. It changes my family, my friends. It changes the community. It changes the world. So how do we do all this, Justin? Man, watch what you put in your mind. Watch who you're hanging with and then do this. Look for the positive. Now, I know what you're saying, like, well, man, that ain't easy to see. It really is when you start looking. It really is if you'll change your perspective a little bit. When door cams came out, those little ring doorbells, everybody started, do you see all the people stealing stuff off your driveway? That's what I like this doorbell for. I'll bust all the thieves out there. Okay. Or you could see things like this, the positive. Watch.
When we think no one is watching,
we found your wallet.
Our truest selves are revealed.
You just thought we would give it back to you. So.
These kids in Colorado returning a wallet. This FedEx driver folding a customer's American flag correctly. FedEx worker Mel Marlette in Missouri caught on camera going above and beyond.
Grabbed the shovel and like I've done many countless times before, started shoveling and I cleared the stoop up.
Shoveling Jody Lafreniere's walkway.
I think we're so eager to catch that person doing something wrong. We hardly ever catch anybody doing something right.
There are, it turns out, so many people doing right, like sanitation worker Billy Shelby, who spotted 88-year-old Opal fall in her driveway.
And when she fell, of course, I jumped out the truck and ran over there, and I could tell she was in distress.
Since then, he's added a new duty to his route. Her daughter watches it unfold from her phone.
I see the sanitation worker walking my mom up arm in arm. They were just having some great conversation.
No one else had never done that, but he does, and he still does.
I just knew I was doing the right thing. You know, doing the right thing ain't hard to do.
Bye-bye.
Then there's this video. 2-year-old Cohen running, arms outstretched toward pizza delivery man Ryan.
I thought it was so funny that my toddler just ran out and hugged a stranger.
His mother shared the video online. Ryan saw it and posted, "This little guy has no idea how much I actually needed that this week."
Upon going to his Facebook, that's when I saw the GoFundMe and that his daughter had recently passed, like within the last week. My heart absolutely breaks for the family. I can't imagine what they're going through.
A hug with an impact. So many little acts of kindness adding up and finally being seen.
I learned that there's still good people in this world.
You truly never know what people are going through, so always choose to be kind.
Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. So here's my thing. I want you to choose to be positive. I want you to choose to be kind. I want you to share your story. Let me tell you about the encouragement that you've given us. On Facebook, we pulled up some of the comments that people have just written, just reminding us that it matters. Hey, what you're doing matters. Man, thank you for doing it. Thanks for going for it. We know that there's negative. We know that the world's full of it. But you know what? We are recognizing the positive that God is doing. So what I'm asking you to do is share the positive. I don't care if it's on your Facebook, your Instagram, Twitter stories, whatever it is. You're going to go out and go, you know what? I'm not going to focus on or start getting in debates or arguing or being ugly. I'm going to fill my mind with what's right, what's true, what is beautiful. I'm going to try to find ways to look for the positive. You go, oh, man, I don't know about all this. Don't you think that that would be much better than where we've been? Don't you really, when you look back at it and you think about evaluating your life, or our culture, our schools, or our workplaces, or our communities, that, man, if we could create that, what a difference it would be. That is what Jesus Christ himself was calling us to do, is lift others up, not knock them down. And I don't care if you have a political reason. I don't care if you have something that your family raised you on that you think is so right and you're so right. I'm telling you, when you're hurting other people with your words or your actions, it doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor Jesus. And my challenge is for us to shift, man, and do everything we can to go, let's find some ways to focus on the positive, to be the positive, and then start sharing those stories. So I'd love it when you share your story. If you have a personal story, justin@thesimplechurch.tv, you can send it to me. I'd love to, because, man, we'll put it in the pre-show. We try to do it now that we're watching the 30 minutes before the service on both services, both that starts at 9, then it starts at 10:30. We're sharing these stories. We're interviewing these people. We're talking about all this. Why? Because we need more good news. We need more positivity. So whether it's in Dallas, North Dallas, where we're launching this campus, we're going to hear these stories of families working through issues and loving on each other when the world says you're not supposed to. When you find it right here in our own community, battling through some of the worst and most challenging circumstances and situations, but that people are encouraged and say, man, don't you give up. I'm with you. I'm fighting with you. I'm praying for you. So Uncle Jack, you better hear me. Mike, you better hear me. All of those that are sending us the stories, we get it. And we want you to know that, man, we want to lift you up. That's why we do what we do, is to point you to Jesus, to lift you up, because I know how difficult and challenging it is. There's a song by Mandisa I want you to understand and understand why we're going to play it as you get ready to walk out here in a minute. But listen close to what she has to say, because once again, I think she's saying kind of what Justin was saying, and I'm learning from you, Mandisa. Watch.
My soul so long.
I was listening to a local Christian radio station recently, and they asked people to call in and to share their good news. It was a segment where people just rang in and they shared the great news that was happening in their lives. They said that it was something that encouraged other brothers and sisters in Christ. When we're able to tell the world our good news, it points the glory right back to God. And so that's what this song, Good News, is all about. It's about shouting from the rooftop that my God hears the prayers of the righteous, that he answers them, and he is still in the business of bringing us some good news.
Good news. Good news. Mandisa giving us some good news there. Let me pray for you. God, I'm praying that right now that you would remind us of the good news that is found in a relationship with you. That, God, that you give us second chances and third chances and, man, 70 times seven chances. God, because I mess it up. I know people in this room, we mess it up. We're in a world full of negativity. You know everything about that. But yet you showed us how to lift people up, how to challenge people to take steps to move towards health and to move towards seeing things from your perspective, a kingdom perspective, an eternal perspective. So God, I pray that it would start for the people in here that do not know you, that they would say, Jesus, come into my life. I cannot do this without you. I want you to come into me and help me, save me, change me, help me to be more like you. And God, when somebody prays that prayer, God, I know you hear them. You invade their space. And then you begin to say, follow you. And Jesus, that's what I'm trying to do. The world tries to trip us up and knock us off course, but help us, God, to keep our eyes on your son, Jesus, and to become more like him. And when we become more like him, it will always mean that we love. It will always mean that we're kind. It will always mean that we die to self so that others can be uplifted. Help us, Jesus, to be more like you. Not like any political party, not like any church denomination, God, not like anybody that we see around the world, God, but just like you. And when we put our eyes and we focus on you, you promise to change the world just like you're changing our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. Amen.